My guest at this time is Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar. He represents the Grand Canyon State's 4th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Freedom Caucus, and he joins me now to talk about a number of critical issues, ranging from immigration and border security to the present state of relations within the Republican Party as lawmakers get set to return to Washington after Labor Day. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Greg.
Well, of course, your home state was kind of the center stage for the political universe, at least for a little while this week, when the president held his rally in Phoenix. He said a number of things that got quite a bit of reaction. Most of it was about rhetoric, but he also talked about something that hadn't been said before about how far he's willing to go to get one of his biggest campaign priorities, and that's the wall along the southern border. Here's a montage of what he said.
We are cracking down on the sanctuary cities that shield criminal aliens, finally. And we are building a wall on the southern border, which is absolutely necessary. Now, the obstructionist Democrats would like us not to do it, but believe me, if we have to close down our government, we're building that wall.
We'll talk about the potential shutdown in just a moment, sir. What's your report card for this administration when it comes to immigration policy so far, whether it's clamping down, as he said, on sanctuary cities, border security, or even internal enforcement?
I think they've done a very good job. You know, illegal crossings are down by over 50%. You know, they've boosted the Border Patrol and ICE, and then they gave immigration judges and staff, you know, they got a bunch more of those folks. So they're actually processing and they mean business, and they've actually instituted a number of operations. And so from their standpoint, just like the American people expect, is that there are laws on the books. They need to be followed. We don't allow people that destroy the law or violate the law to move forward. And when he's serious about the sanctuary cities, I think that's what the American people are actually concerned about, is that we need to follow the law. And if you don't like the laws, go back to Congress and have the laws rebuilt. So I like what he's doing. The concern I do have is that he's still got a number of people that need to be filled in cabinet positions or not so much cabinets, but to fill in his administration from the Senate confirmations. And so once he gets those, particularly in the Department of Justice, I think we're going to see a whole other application of where this administration is going to honor the promises that they ran on in the election.
Well, he does have one cabinet vacancy since he moved his Homeland Security Secretary over to be his chief of staff, and that's obviously a critical position when it comes to enforcement of immigration policy. Let's talk a little bit about the wall. This was an issue that he wanted funded back when there was the continuing resolution debate in late April. Ultimately, that was deferred until the appropriations process that we're heading into now and the deadline for the new fiscal year, which is at the end of September. Is this a hill that you think the president ought to be fighting on or perhaps even politically dying on as a result of demanding the money for this major priority? And do you think your party's ready for that fight?
You know, Greg, from that standpoint, you know, the wall was authorized over a decade ago, and it was a bipartisan effort. You know, a sovereign country has the right to defend and dictate its borders and who comes in and who leaves. So, you know, this gentleman is not built as a politician, and that's why America voted him in. He's a disruptor. You know, the business as usual has got to stop. We're $20 trillion in debt. We seem to be taking advantage everywhere we look. And so from that standpoint, you know, he's in negotiation. He's going to stake his claim, and he understands the power of what his office could do. So I think this is one of those opportunities. I don't think I would cross the president. And I don't think I would cross the American people. This is something the American people want. We've seen so far it's the Senate let them down in regards to promises they made on Obamacare. And so I think they're getting restless because they don't see solutions, but they see a man that's struggling to make sure that he honors the promises that he made to those people.
I want you to go back to something you said at the beginning of that response, sir, and that's that roughly a decade ago there was wide bipartisan consensus on needing a barrier on the southern border, whether you call it a wall or a complicated fence that makes it very difficult for people to cross our border. Back then, there was bipartisan consensus. Now there's not. Why do you think that's changed?
That's because the political correctness in the media have gotten into people. I think from the standpoint is that when you look at all the issues, whether they be NAFTA, and as a businessman, you know, I don't know of any type of contract that shouldn't be renegotiated after 5 years. That's the very longest you should go. We went over 20 years looking at NAFTA. You know, you look at the problems that we see with that. Mexico looks at their southern border much differently than they do their northern border. And so when there's trade implications, it takes two to tango. So from that standpoint, I think these are all interwoven. And I think the president's got a good thought process about how to drag all these together to get what he believes the American people want, because they voted for him. And he made no qualms about border security and building the wall. So there are plenty of opportunities. And last but not least, Greg, there's other opportunities outside just a physical barrier. And that is, we've pitched to the president the lower Santa Cruz watershed. That's where Mexico's got the high ground, Arizona's the low ground. And when they get flooding, it floods us. And so we can actually look at a collaborative venture where Mexico's going to pay part of the bill in ventures along the border. That's a win-win situation. And I think that people ought to look outside the box when they're starting to look at border security.
What's your sense, Congressman, of the atmosphere you're going to be returning here? As you well know, the president has not been shy about being critical of Republican congressional leaders for not getting things done, especially as it relates to the Obamacare repeal, but some other things as well. There's been some shots fired in the opposite direction rhetorically as well. Even with your own state, the two Republican senators have drawn the president's ire, Jeff Flake and John McCain. And so some folks are wondering whether you're coming back into a hostile atmosphere within your own party. And of course, the American people are wondering whether that's going to mean that more priorities are going to be difficult to pass. What do you expect when you come back?
Well, we've got our backs against the corner. You know, Winston Churchill made the famous analogy saying, listen, you can always count on Americans to do the right thing when they've exhausted everything else. Well, here's our sign looking at Congress. They've exhausted everything else. At least coming from the House, you know, we've got over 200 bills sitting over there waiting on the Senate to take a look at. You know, we've actually done our four appropriation bills. We're going to do the other eight here in September. So the first time in my tenure that we'll actually have an appropriation process done, abbreviated. But what has the Senate done? You know, they copped out on Obamacare. And, you know, to my senators, you know, if you didn't like what the House put forward, where's your ideas? You know, we're catastrophically moving down this pathway where we're seeing Americans, first of all, getting a 40 to 90% increase in their premiums coming up. Obamacare is frankly failing. There's not enough money to fix it. We're seeing Medicare being implicated in all the group plans. So it behooves us to be big boys and girls and have that conversation. And so if no is your answer, I need to tell my senators, hey, what's your solution? Because no isn't good enough.
What are your constituents most frustrated about? You've been home now for a number of weeks. Is it Obamacare? Is it immigration? What have you heard about most?
It is all of the above, Greg, and they're furious at our senators. There isn't one meeting I don't have where people are going off on our two senators. You know, leadership comes at a price, and that means that you have to put solutions on the table. That means that no can't be your answer. It's going to be what it's going to take to be yes. And they're frustrated because I have represented most of the rural parts of Arizona. They've got a piece of paper that says they have health care, the insurance in it, but they can't afford to pay the copays and deductibles. It's a travesty. They see no job growth out here. They don't see opportunity. And those are all the things that they were promised, whether it be tax breaks, tax cuts, getting the government out of the way. This president has done his fair share with congressional review acts and with executive orders to streamline the regulatory process. Now Congress has got to respond. It can't continue working in a broken, dysfunctional fashion. And it means that everybody, including the Democrats, got to show up to the table as well.
You just mentioned your own frustration with your senators, one of which, of course, is up for re-election next year. I'm sure you've been asked at some of these town hall meetings. So what can you say definitively about whether you have any interest in that race?
Well, you know, I took this, you know, when I first ran for Congress, I did it for my country. I saw my country going down a pathway that wasn't what I had experienced, and I didn't want my children, my grandchildren, to have to experience a failing and flawed America. I wanted them to have an opportunity. you know, we've had lots of people ask us. You know, currently there's Dr. Kelly Ward in the race. There's others maybe looking at it. You know, we'll see. That's as good as we can say at this point in time. We want to make sure that, you know, that we're doing the right thing for the right time for the right reasons. I don't need another title. I got four titles above congressman. That's a husband, a father, a citizen, and a doctor.
Very good, sir. That's obviously a major decision, and we look forward to looking to see exactly what happens down the pike. But last question, sir. When you get back to Washington, what are you most optimistic about getting done, whether it's reduced spending, whether it's tax reform, whether it's a debt ceiling with some sort of restrictions going forward? What are your biggest priorities, and what are you most optimistic about getting done?
I think that it's the first brick, and I don't know what that first brick that falls is going to be, Greg. But once that first brick falls, and it's going to be very terse, the atmosphere is going to be very confrontational, it's going to be very high stakes. But once that first brick falls, a lot of this stuff is going to fall right in line. It's going to be very, very quick and very, very fast. You know, there are a lot of solutions, a lot of ideas out there, and I think that the opportunity abounds. I don't know exactly which one is going to fall first, but one is going to fall. I would hope that it's health care, because I think that sets the stage for tax breaks, that talks about the budget, that looks at a positive influence for the American people to move forward.
Well, we'll certainly be watching, sir, and we always appreciate the opportunity to check in with you both before and after. And so hopefully we'll have a chance to talk again soon. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Greg.
Paul Gosar represents Arizona's 4th Congressional District. He's a Republican and a member of the House Freedom Caucus. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.